Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for your love, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we have made it through another week. Not by our power, but because you've been with us. We don't know what the new week holds, but we're thankful that we can worship and praise you because we know that you've got everything under control. Meet with us now and have your way, and we'll give you all of the praise. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 98 in your Methodist hymnal. 98, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Let's stand together as we sing.
Done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our one, our transport when Jesus we see. Sing it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
In your worship folder is a yellow insert with our responsive reading on it. It will not be on the screen. It comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Let's read together responsively. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Just got word a few minutes ago that one of our grandchildren has an issue that she would appreciate our prayers with her for. Remember Cheyenne? Any others? How many of y'all think we ought to be praying for our nation? Nothing political about that. Our nation needs prayer. It did 20 years ago, it did 50 years ago, it did 100 years ago, it does today. Do keep our nation in your prayers, keep our leaders in your prayers. All of our soldiers that have come back home that still have problems. We don't always see the wounds. Sometimes we do. There's a limb missing or whatever. But very often we don't. Keep them in your prayers. Be with the families of all of those who did not come back home. Remember Marianne and Alan in your prayers? I think we need to take care of the shoeboxes first of all. Do you realize what a tremendous blessing this is going to be? Imagine a child who has nothing or next to nothing. They receive a box. It's theirs. Now, we think our kids get excited just about an empty box. If they got the box, they'd be excited about that. But it's full of all kinds of neat things. Toys, school supplies, hygiene items. Things that they would never, ever, ever have hope to have on their own. This one's got cats and dogs and beads, coloring book, all kinds of things. These will be going around the world to make a difference in children's lives this Christmas time. And while we're talking about it too, remember to pray for Franklin Graham. He had heart surgery recently. We want to keep him in our prayers. What a mystery this is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we're gathered in this place, we give you thanks and praise that we have the opportunity to make a difference in our world. This morning, Lord, we pray for each of these 32 boxes and for the thousands of other boxes that they will join with to go around the world. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability, the capacity to give. Remind us this morning that with all we don't have, we're still among the top 5% of the richest people in the world. We pray this morning that you'd go with each of these boxes and all of the many thousands of others. We pray, Lord, that it'll be more than just stuff to these kids at Christmas time. It'll be a reminder that there's a God who loves and cares for them, and that they have brothers and sisters in Rockwood, Tennessee, who want to share God's love and grace with them today. We pray now for your blessings to be upon each of these, wherever they may go, whoever may receive them. May they receive a blessing from you as well. In Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you that we can gather together to worship and praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you promise that we could cast our every care upon you because you do care for us. Remind us today that there are so many who are homeless and hungry and hurting and helpless and hopeless. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to them today. We pray that you would use us to your honor and glory to reach out to them. Someone has said that love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love is not love until you give it away. Thank you, Lord, for this season of thanksgiving. Help us that we might be indeed be thankful for you. And then, Lord, help us as your children that we might indeed be giving. Giving in so many different ways. Sometimes it's the things that don't cost anything that mean the most. Help us, Lord, that we might give. And we'll give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. The same Jesus who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Again, may I remind you that the offering receptacles are at both doors. We need God's people to continue to be faithful. We thank you for all that you've done to help the church through this very difficult year and a half, almost 2 years now. But we have some catching up to do, and we appreciate all that you are doing to help us in that direction. We're going to see a video in just a second. Before we see that, Keith, two numbers for you, 367 and 374. And I will explain to you all what those two numbers will mean in just a couple of minutes. 367 and 374. Let's enjoy this video.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power. Display. And then sings my soul, oh, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art,
how great thou art. Savior God, to thee, oh, to thee.
How great thou art.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faithful giving of your people. As we've seen you work miracles in our midst, our hearts are singing, how great thou art. We pray now that you would bless the gift, bless the giver, bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Going to change the scripture this morning. Let me read to you from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord who made us is God. We are God's. We are the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations. number of years ago, William Cowper wrote a poem entitled A Light Shining Out of Darkness. I'm sure you've heard that poem many times. It starts off, God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep and unfathomable minds of never-ending skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Trust not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. If you've been following the worship folder this morning, you may notice that there have been a few little changes in it. I've got a real good excuse. From our driveway to Chevron Church is just about 50 miles. As I was pulling into the driveway at Chevron this morning, it struck me that my notebook with my sermon and the accompaniment tracks and all of the service materials was still on the desk, on the table at home. Well, here we are. I believe we've had a worship experience already. I don't believe it takes somebody behind the pulpit talking for 45 minutes to bring God upon the scene. I think we've had a worship experience right here this morning. We appreciate so much those who put so much labor into these boxes. So what are we going to do? Here we are just a week and a half from Thanksgiving. This morning, I want to share with you, strictly spontaneous, with a little bit of luck, we may beat the Baptists to the restaurants. Otherwise, we may be there in time for supper. But I just wanted to share with you that I'm so very thankful for God's guidance in my own life. So often, ministers are so good at telling other people what they ought to be thinking and feeling and all of that. But let me share with you just a little bit of my journey, so you understand why it is that I still seem to be wandering sometimes. I started out in New England. I was born in the same house that my mother was born in. She was born in that house in 1913. I was born in that house in 1943. All the way through the sixth grade, the school that I attended was right across the street from our house. Closer than the house across the street is to the church here. All the teachers knew my parents, and my parents knew all the teachers. And I knew that if I got in trouble at school, you know the rest of the story there, the church that I attended was just down below the house, closer than the fire station is to our fellowship hall. That church celebrated their 200th anniversary in 1956. It was a congregational church. Congregational church, like the Methodist Church, is unique. I think they got a head start on us going down a different path. A few years back, probably 10 or 12 years ago, I happened to look them up on Facebook, and there they were. So I sent them an email and asked them to please put me on their mailing list. This church that I attended, the pastor would get up every Sunday and read his prayer. He'd get up every Sunday and read his sermon. Sunday after Sunday, things were pretty much the same. Well, I thought, well, here this church is over 250 years old now. Let's see what they're doing. Well, they had a woman pastor. Her name was Stacy. And, you know, they would tell, okay, Pastor Stacy's doing this and doing that. And I thought, that's great. I'm glad the church is still carrying on. Then finally, I got one of the newsletters, and it said, well, Pastor Stacy is finally getting married. I thought, hey, that's great. But I wasn't ready for the next sentence. Shows the difference in time that we're in. It said, Stacy and Susan are planning on taking their honeymoon in the Rockies. Okay, the church has changed a little bit since I was there. When I was about 12 years old, I was riding my bike down the sidewalk during summer vacation. There was a house trailer there, little old lady with a bun hairdo, long sleeves, long skirt, apron on, came out of the trailer, came across the street, stopped right in the middle of the sidewalk. So I had to stop. She said, what are you doing next week? Nothing. Good, I want you to come to Vacation Bible School at my church. Didn't even know what Vacation Bible School was. I went to church every single Sunday, but they didn't have Vacation Bible School at our church. So I went, had a great time, learned a lot of new courses and all of that. And then they announced that a week or two later, there's going to be a church conference about 20 miles away, and they wanted a group of the children to go. So I went, and during the course of that conference, they had a service in this big old sanctuary downtown, all dark wood all through the sanctuary, beautiful curved altar rail in the front. During the course of the service, they gave an invitation. John Wesley said he felt his heart strangely warmed there on Aldersgate Street. Well, I had my experience a little bit younger than him. I felt led down to the altar, and I was probably right about here on that curved altar rail. And as I was kneeling there, a man came down and knelt on the other side of the altar from me, and he said, are you a Christian? I thought a moment, and I said, sometimes. Ah, we've got a few sometime Christians in some of our churches too, don't we? Anyway, I said, yeah, sometime. He said, no, it doesn't work that way. And then he explained it all to me. And that day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, I wasn't a member of that church. I wasn't a member of the church that I went with. And 2 or 3 years later, we moved to Florida. And of course, in Florida, where we were, there were no congregational churches. There were no Christian and Missionary Alliance churches where I'd gone to Vacation Bible School. So we met some people there in town that were very cordial, and they brought us by fruit. Mom had 4 grapefruit trees and 3 orange trees in the yard, but these people would bring by fruit to them, and they invited us to come to their church. Well, their church was First Baptist Church, right downtown. Of course, a town of 9,000 downtown doesn't mean a whole lot, but anyway, we started going there and we liked it. So Mom and Dad went to talk to the pastor about becoming members, and he said, well, he said, yeah. He said, you need to be baptized. They said, oh, we already have. He said, not in my church, you haven't. So we ended up going across the street to the Methodist Church. Interestingly enough, God moves in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Well, here we were. We started going to the Methodist Church, and I got involved with the MYF, the Methodist Youth Fellowship. And the next summer, I got to go to youth camp up in Leesburg, Florida. Beautiful camp right there on the lake. About 100 yards offshore, there was a raft out there with a cross on it. And they had the cross with neon lights on it, and they ran wiring out to it. About the end of the week, the last night or two, I was sitting on the dock one evening all by myself. It took me a year or two to figure out how to pick up the girls during youth camp. But anyway, I was sitting here all by myself, just kind of looking out at the cross and looking out at the lake. And all of a sudden, this 15-year-old boy knew that God wanted him to become a minister. Nobody in my family had ever been a minister that I know of. Nobody in my family that I know of had ever gone to college. But all of a sudden, I knew. Well, God continued to move. A few years later in my life, I left the Methodist Church and joined the Church of the Nazarene. Now, somebody said that really all Nazarenes are souped-up Methodists. Okay? Theologically, we're identical. We're Wesleyan in our theology. But I joined the Nazarene Church. I was ordained in the Nazarene Church. I directed a junior high camp with over 200 campers for 5 years. I directed over 20,000 miles of teen choir concert tours in Canada and Puerto Rico and 27 or 28 different states. Things had a great time. I was president of the district youth organization. Now, their bylaws said that to be president, you had to be, I think, under 35, and I qualified for that at that time. So I was president of the district youth, and there were over 3,000 young people in that group. Had some wonderful opportunities for ministry there. Well, then a few years later, I came back to the Methodist Church. Now, I had moved to Florida, and I went over to the district office one day, and I said, listen, I said, right now I'm not even a Methodist at this point. I had my resume, and I gave it to him. I said, but I'm going to be joining the Methodist Church. I haven't been to seminary yet, but I'm planning on going. But I just want to let you know, if you've got a church that needs the floors mopped or the windows cleaned, now don't get any ideas. That was then and this is now, okay? But anyway, I said, if you've got even, you know, anything I can do to serve, if you need somebody to fill in for Sunday, I'm available. Well, the DS showed me, he had a stack of resumes about this high of people from all over the country who every year, about this time of year, they feel God calling them to Florida. He said, well, I've got all these people here, you know, and they've got all kinds of experience and credentials and everything else. But if anything comes open, I'll let you know. I wasn't expecting a whole lot, but God moves in mysterious ways. 2 weeks later, just 2 weeks later, he called and said, I've got a church for you. Never really expected that to happen. The church was right in my hometown. Never expected that to happen. It was a church that I preached in when I was in high school. So, I became a Methodist minister. The next summer, the letter went out to the church, as you know, hey, it's that time of year, do you want your preacher to stay or do you want him to get out of there? Well, they wanted me to stay and I wanted to stay and things were going great. But about 35 miles away in Kissimmee, there was a church. They needed to get the pastor out of there. So they swapped he and I out. Well, that worked great because Catherine was working for Disney at the time, and in the church we were in, it was a 45-mile drive for her. When we moved to Kissimmee, it was only about 8 miles. So that worked out great. Things went well. The next summer, I realized, okay, I'm back in the Methodist Church now. I've got my college bachelor's degree, but I haven't been to seminary. So I had two options. Either I could go to seminary, or I could go to course of study school. And now they've changed it some now, but back then, course of study school was the last 2 weeks of July and the first 2 weeks of August every year for anywhere from 5 to 9 years, depending which route you took in it. So the interesting thing was too, we were in Central Florida, and course of study school was up in Atlanta at Emory University. So I made arrangements and I went up there, got up there and I thought, I'm not gonna be away from my family for a month every year and still be kind of almost like a second class citizen in the Methodist Church. So when I got back home, Catherine and I sat down and we discussed it all. We felt that God was leading us to go to Atlanta so I could go to seminary. Our daughter Rebecca had just gone in the Air Force, but we still had three teenagers at home. So the next summer we packed up. We moved up to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, mind you, most of my classmates had just gotten out of college. They were probably 22, 23 years old. Not me. It took me 10 years to get through college. By the time I got through seminary, I was 50 years old. Now, granted, it only took me the regular 3 years to get through it, but I was 47 when I went to seminary. One of my classes, I believe it was an ethics class, we were talking about segregation. I realize we hear a lot about that on the news right now, but anyway, we were talking about it, and the professor asked if any of us had experienced anything like that, and I said, back in 58, I rode a bus from Central Florida to Massachusetts to spend the summer with my brother, and the people of color had to ride in the back of the bus. When we'd stop at a restaurant, I'd walk in the front door, and they had to go around back, and they would serve them through a little window. They had to go out to the picnic table or wherever to eat their lunch. The woman sitting beside me said, 1958, how old are you anyway? Well, Catherine had a great job there on campus. She worked in the administration building up on the fourth floor. She was doing a great job there. One day I went up to see her. It was during graduation. It wasn't my graduation, but there was another class graduating. And I went up there, and lo and behold, standing outside her door was Ted Turner and Jane Fonda. I don't know what you think about Jane Fonda, but she was out there. And just for the record, she didn't look nearly as good in person as she does on screen. But they were out there. And then shortly after that, she got switched over to the Health Sciences building. She was up on the fourth floor. Four big plate glass windows overlooking the city skyline of Atlanta. Her boss's boss made $37,000 a month, $75,000 a year in fringe benefits. He was over the entire medical program of Emory University, all the hospitals and classes and all that. When we were leaving Florida, her boss at Disney said, listen, I tell you what, I don't want to lose you. Here's what we'll do. We'll pay your rent here. We'll pay your travel expenses to go to Atlanta every weekend so you can be with David. And we'll give you a raise in pay. Well, she said no, thank goodness. We went to Atlanta. When we got ready to leave Atlanta, her boss there, she was administrative assistant to the vice president of health affairs. And he told her the same thing. Listen, we want you to stay here. We'll pay all your expenses, etc. She wouldn't do that. Well, we had some choices to make then because I had no idea where we're going. We didn't want to go back to Florida then or now. Okay? Some of you may think that's close to paradise. Bless your heart. But anyway, we didn't know where we're going to go. We got a call to the Southern Illinois Conference, a little town called Benelde, B-E-N-L-D. Strange. Until you realize that the town was founded by a man by the name of Ben L. Dorsey. Ben L. D. Okay? It was a church that ran about 125 people. In a town of about 600. The pastor that was there at the time was a local pastor who had been there for 35 years. He told the bishop, he said, I've already bought my house here in town. It's paid for. I'm going to stay here. When the new pastor gets in and gets settled, I'm going to go back there to church. Well, he had baptized the babies. He had held the confirmation classes for them to become members of the church. He had married them. He had buried their parents and grandparents. I said, Lord, please. God said, no, I've got another place for you. And we came to Tennessee. I've been amazed through the years at how God is able to move. How God is able to answer prayer when it seems like there's no possible answer. Through the years, I've had my doubts about a lot of things. But there's never been a second when I've doubted the fact that God has called me to do his work. There have been times when I couldn't figure out how God was going to do it. But God did. 28 when I got out of college, 50 when I got out of seminary, 54 when I got my doctorate. And it's amazing how God has always opened doors. Back in the spring, I knew I was going to be moving. Had no idea where. I figured, well, God's got a spot for me. District superintendent said, are you interested in going back to Rockwood? Absolutely. Here we are. From that kid up in New England, I was one of the youngest members to join that congregational church in their 200 years. I joined when I was 12. That normally didn't happen. All the way from there to Rockwood, Tennessee, 100 years later. Here we are. What am I rambling about? Well, I guess I'm just trying to tell you that we don't always know. We don't always have things planned out, or they don't always happen the way we have them planned out. But we need to realize that God is able. God, I don't know what you've got in mind, but this is your problem, not mine. Show me the way. I'd like for us to sing a couple of songs at this time. One of them, you're probably ready for a break. Where are we at here? Oh, we've still got plenty of time. You're probably ready for a break. We're going to sing Standing on the Promises, and in order to sing that, you're probably going to have to stand. It doesn't work to sing Standing on the Promises when we're sitting on the premises. It's number 374 in your hymnal. Let's join together.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, while I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, I'm standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I am standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we can stand on your promises. When everything around us seems to be rocking and rolling and shaking, your promises are steadfast and true. Help us that we might dare to trust you every moment of life. No matter what happens, may we give you all of the praise and glory day by day as you move in mysterious ways, your wonders to perform. We thank and praise you for Rockwood United Methodist Church, Lord. We realize that there have been so many that have come before us that have made the difference. Now we have the opportunity to carry on. Nothing, not pandemics, not politics, can prevail against your church. Help us that we might trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we go, I'd like for us to sing one more song. We won't sing the last one in the worship folder. We will sing number 367, He Touched Me.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me.
If this is your testimony, feel free to raise your hand. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. May you leave this place this morning knowing that in spite of life, that God is able to move among God's people and do wondrous works. May you leave filled to overflowing with God's love and grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.